It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Monday, January 24th, 2022. In today's ship schedule, we have one inbound vessel. We have 10 heading outbound today, downriver and out to sea, and 11 ships in our Astoria anchorages. And today we're going to be talking about ships and how they're helping out with humanitarian missions in Tonga and elsewhere in the world. And a look at our marine weather forecast. We have southeast winds today, 5 knots, backing to the north in the afternoon, wind waves southeast, 1 foot high at 4 seconds apart, shifting to the north at 4 seconds in the afternoon, and west swells 8 feet high at 15 seconds apart. Our one and only inbound vessel today, at least what we know so far, is the GH Glory. She's a dry bulk carrier arriving from South Korea, headed to the Rice Island anchorage a little bit upriver from Astoria on the north side of the ship channel. She's eventually headed to Longview to pick up wheat. So a little more about Tonga today. So much is happening there to help that nation recover from its huge volcanic eruption, and so much of that help has to do with ships. So I thought we could talk a little bit about today about how ships are helping with humanitarian efforts there, and how ships in general help people around the world in need. So right now, the New Zealand Navy is delivering water to Tonga. One of their ships carried 250,000 liters of water to that island nation on Friday. Now, New Zealand is relatively close to Tonga, as is Australia, who is also sending ships to help. New Zealand Navy ship has desalinization equipment on board that can take salt water, ocean water, and turn it into fresh water by removing the salt. And they can they have the capability to produce 70,000 liters per day of fresh water. So I guess they're going to stick around there for a while and keep producing that fresh water for the people of Tonga. So why do they need this water? Well, ash from the volcanic eruption and salt water from the tsunamis they experienced there have polluted local water sources, so residents right now are desperately in need of drinkable water in Tonga. A little more about that volcano eruption. According to NASA, the eruption was equivalent to 5 to 10 megatons of TNT, more than 500 times the strength of the nuclear bomb the U.S. dropped on the city of Hiroshima at the end of World War II. The plume of ash was visible from the International Space Station. In fact, NASA has released photographs showing a huge gray smudge over the Pacific. The cable ship Reliance, that's a ship we talked about last week on the Ship Report, is an undersea cable laying ship and repairing ship. She's owned by Subcom, the Subcom Corporation. She's on her way to Tonga from New Zealand and should be there in a little over a week. The ship will repair the undersea fiber optic cable that connects Tonga to the internet. Telephone links between Tonga and the outside world were reconnected late on Wednesday, although restoring full internet service is probably going to take about a month, or even more, perhaps. And it's interesting to note that Elon Musk, the CEO of Tesla, has asked if Tonga would like help from his Starlink project, which is internet connection through satellites. So that might provide them a temporary respite until their fiber optic cable is repaired. But the shipping world is no stranger to humanitarian missions. Both the New Zealand and Australian navies are sending supplies right now to Tonga. The UK is sending a Royal Navy ship to Tonga to assist with water and other needs. The US has sent $100,000 and supplies. So the ships that were sent and going there are probably in the general vicinity, I mean, of that part of the world, and can be diverted there. So that UK ship may have been in the vicinity. It's an awfully long way for the U.S. to send a ship there, so I think they're sending money and supplies. It's not unusual for navies to provide help during disasters. The U.S. Navy does a lot of humanitarian work. Our Navy performs a wide range of humanitarian operations on almost a daily basis. They assist in rescues at sea, for one thing, and that's because often ships are the only means of rescue for someone in trouble who is way offshore. I mean, hundreds, maybe thousands of miles offshore in a vessel, out of the reach of Coast Guard. So sometimes you'll hear of people in sailboats who are sailing from, say, you know, Hawaii or something to the U.S. or something like that, who will get in trouble somewhere way out in the Pacific. And the only available help is some sort of a ship that is already in the vicinity. Sometimes it can be a U.S. military ship if they're in the general vicinity. Other times it can be a cargo ship. There's a worldwide network of cargo ships whose owners have agreed that they will allow their ships to be diverted from their course where they're taking cargo from one place to another if there is some kind of a emergency in the area where they are. And so that's a really terrific thing, can be very helpful. And still sometimes it can take days for a ship to divert and get to somebody who is way out in the middle of the vast ocean. It's probably kind of hard to really visualize really how big the ocean is, but when someone is out there in a boat way, way, way far from shore, there aren't very many resources around to help them. So that's one thing the U.S. Navy does. They also transport emergency personnel and supplies, emergency relief operations, medical services, food aid, among other services. And of course, we wouldn't be able to talk about this without talking about our two U.S. Navy hospital ships that help worldwide in situations of medical emergency. They are the USNS Mercy and the USNS Hope. And we see the USNS Mercy here on the Columbia River fairly often. Big white ship with red crosses on the side. And that's the sign of a Navy hospital ship. So quite a lovely sight to see. Both of those ships, of our U.S. Navy ships, the USNS Mercy and the USNS Hope, are both military sea lift command vessels. So staffed by civilians, owned by the Navy. Both were deployed earlier in the pandemic here in the U.S. to help with COVID care and vaccination efforts. The Mercy was, I think, in Los Angeles, and the USNS Hope was somewhere in the U.S. Other ships owned by nonprofits provide humanitarian relief also, so they're privately owned. One is the Friend Ships Organization, which helps children worldwide, and the Mercy Ships Organization, which sends privately owned hospital ships around the world. I've also talked with people working on ships in the past who have talked about cargo ships taking humanitarian deliveries of goods, perhaps when they don't have a regular cargo, so they'll make a run somewhere, and then on the way back, if they don't have a return cargo, they'll take a delivery of goods somewhere where it's really needed. So sometimes that happens also. Ships are historically, at least before the pandemic, when prices skyrocketed for shipping goods, among the most inexpensive ways to get cargo from one place to another. The only method that's probably more economical historically has been tug and barge traffic. Now, ships may be slow compared to other modes of travel. We talk about ships going maybe, 17 knots, something like that, out at sea. Seems really slow compared to, say, planes, trains, and automobiles. But they also travel around the clock, 24 hours a day. When they're between ports, of course. So the constant travel and the economies of scale they offer because they can carry so much at once make ships a really good choice for moving things from one place to another, which is why, despite the global kind of gridlock of ships right now, ships remain the place where we get our 90% of everything. You've been listening to The Ship Report, show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.